All right. Well, let's turn to James. All right, we can go ahead and pull up the main screen here and the main title screen. James. Chapter 5, almost to the end. James chapter 5. And we're going to, Lord willing, we're going to cover a number of verses today, more than normal. There's a lot of things found in one particular thought that the Lord's laid on my heart to share with you. And the one thing that I want to make sure that you understand so far when it comes to the difference between survival to revival is that we have a choice either to acknowledge that God is present in everything that we're doing or to decide, you know what, I'm not sure what's going to happen and I don't know if anything's going to matter. And just being uncertain all the time. People live like that every day. But we don't have to. And we should certainly not act that way with people on a regular basis. You know, as we were looking at our study in Sunday school, the Bible says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God." You know, it's one thing to study to be approved unto God. It's another thing to study to show yourself approved, to let people actually see that you're approved unto God. That's important. And one of those signs of approval is to have the peace of God ruling in our hearts. The Bible says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts and be ready always. All right, so let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called unto one body, and be ye thankful, the Bible says. And so that's important. Now, I'm gonna have you go to the next screen here. Last Sunday, we looked finally at our final point, a right focus, all right? A right focus. And, you know, that point was to help you to see that God has been with you the whole time, no matter what you're going through, no matter what trials you're going through. And we use the prophets as an example of this. We use the prophets to help us to see, you know what, we may look at the prophets as suffering on the outside, but the prophets experienced a special relationship with their God and experienced peace and joy in such a way that the world cannot explain. Amen. The prophets didn't have anything. They didn't have, they were practically, were it not for the provisions of God, they would have been beggars. They didn't have the finest clothes. They were outcasts. But because of that indwelling peace with God, because of that obedience that they had with God, there was a peace that passes all understanding that was not of this world. And we can have that peace, praise God. In the scriptures, it says that Jesus Christ was missing at certain times, all right? There was a time when people began to show up at Peter's door and say, hey, we want to see Jesus. We want to see Jesus of Nazareth. And so he goes over to, Andrew and says, well, do you know where he is? I'm not sure. Well, we'll go look for him. And they go look for him and they can't find him. And finally somebody says, I think I saw him out here in the field. And so he goes out there and finds him and he says, Jesus, he says, all men are looking for you. Where have you been? There's another time where they're in the storm in a boat and Jesus is not with them. And the boat is the wind is contrary against the boat. It's going north, south, east, west. They can't get anywhere. And Jesus comes walking out to them on the water. I'm not trying to say that that Jesus was limited as God, but what I am trying to say is he had a plan to be present with every man, with all of his power, and with all of his grace, and with his very self, dwelling in our hearts at all times. But it wasn't at that point. He said, it's expedient for me that I go away. Otherwise, the Holy Spirit cannot come to you. I am emphasizing the Holy Spirit today. If I have not emphasized the Holy Spirit before, I want to emphasize it today and help you to realize that we need the Holy Spirit. And I realize that the Trinity are equal, but we need the Holy Spirit more than any of the Trinity. as far as our operations, as far as the things that we do, as far as our communion with our Savior, all of those things. We need the Holy Spirit. We need Amen. The blessings of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We need the peace of the Holy Spirit. We need Him to guide us and tell us what we need to do on a regular basis. And the reason why is because He is the messenger of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, I am the head of the body, the church. I think it's sad that we don't recognize Jesus as the head of the body. You know, it's important that we recognize that our messenger, the Holy Spirit, delivers to us the messages that the head of the body is trying to convey to us. And all throughout Scripture, in Acts, we find the apostles and we find the disciples, they are constantly talking to Jesus Christ, getting His attention through the Holy Spirit. Lord, what do we do? Lord, give us boldness. Lord, give us power. Give us grace to be able to speak. They were constantly calling on Jesus Christ because, first of all, He's the head of the body, but also because they had access to Him through the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we need to have a right focus. We need to realize, you know, whether bad times happen in our church, difficulties, things that we're not sure about, we have a right focus. Jesus Christ is in our midst, and there's a reason for every single thing that happens in this church, every single thing. As long as we're putting our trust in Him, He will guide us, He'll help us. And I'm not just talking about us collectively, I'm talking about our individual lives. God is somehow fashioning us in our individual lives to be the appropriate vessel that He needs for us to be in this church at this particular time. He knew that you would be a part of New Grace Baptist Church thousands of years ago, from the very beginning. Amen. He knew that you would be a part of this church. And the reason why, the only reason why you're a part of this church is because He has a purpose in mind for everything when it comes to a final conclusion. Amen. And He's got New Grace Baptist Church right in line with everything that He wants to do. And He has appointed each of you. You should be honored. You should be honored that God has chosen you at this hour, at this church, to be a part of this church, to get His job done.
Amen.
That's really something to think about. And, you know, He is a point, you know, I was sharing this with Brother David in a Bible study. if there was such a thing as a genie, you know, you've heard of the genie of the lamp, right? If there was such thing and He did give three wishes, there are three wishes that I would ask for. And, you know, I personally think that the genie, if I were to say this would be my first wish. Genie, I want to be accepted. All right. Now, a lot of people would say, well, why would you wish for that? Why don't you wish for a Lamborghini or something like that? Well, if you want a Lamborghini, first of all, that's a lot of upkeep. What's the real reason for asking for a Lamborghini? It's so that you can be accepted. Am I right? It's so that people will say, wow, look at that guy, right? And so that's the reason why we ask for something so fancy, all right? What's wrong with asking for the general bottom line thing? Acceptance. I want to be accepted. Number two, genie... I want to be significant. I want to be important. You know, there's nothing wrong with admitting that you want to be important. Did you know that God made you to be that way? He made you to want to feel important. If you don't feel important and in your life you don't seem very important, you go to God and say, you know what, Lord, because I know that if you're a human being, you desire significance. Amen. Go to God and say, I don't feel very significant. I realize that you didn't purpose for that to happen in my life. There are things in Scripture that point out that we are significant to God. Amen. And He realizes that in our daily walk as long as we realize it ourselves when we're communing with Him. Recognize those things in the Bible that say we are significant. We're the salt of the earth. Yeah. We're a branch of the true vine.
Right.
That's significant.
Amen.
You know, when it comes to being accepted, I am a friend of God. I am a child of God.
Amen.
And it goes on down the line. Then the third wish that I would say is I want to be secure. Oh, yeah. All of us would say security, right? That's why we ask for money, right? That's why we would ask for money with the genie. Some people would say, help me win the lottery. Why? If you're going to ask the genie to help you win the lottery, why don't you just ask for $100 million?
Right.
You know, don't ask if you'll win the lottery, you know. Get it done the right way, all right? But bottom line, I honestly think, all right, theoretically here, that if I were to say I want those three things, I think the genie would say, you know, the best way that I can grant that to you is if I give you a strong presence with Jesus Christ.
Amen. That's good.
You know, I realize that he's fake and all that stuff. But what I'm saying is the best way that you can receive, and this is true. This is true, people. The best way that you can receive acceptance, the best way that you can be significant, the best way that you can be successful is if you make Jesus Christ the center of your life.
Amen.
By him all things consist. Look, you realize theoretically that if Jesus Christ, that if God, all right, theoretically, I'm not saying this could ever happen, all right? But theoretically, if God were to die, do you realize that everything would cease to exist? Everything.
Yeah.
Every single thing from billions and billions of light years away would cease to exist. And yet you have God living in you.
Amen.
That's an amazing thing. We've got to recognize that, and we've got to have a right focus with him. Now, in order for that to, now, as far as putting that into practice, I want you to go to the next, okay? Just click next, all right? There we go. All right, the next one is for today is a concurrent focus. What that means is on a regular basis, depending on what things are going on in your life, keep that focus strong based on certain situations and circumstances. We run into all of them, all different kinds of things. And how do we maintain that focus with the Lord? All right, let's look at what it says in the Word of God, all right? I think the scripture, go ahead and go to the next one here. Let's go ahead and look at what it says in the Bible here, first of all right? The first thing that I want you to notice is that we need to have the concurrent focus needs to happen with honesty. That's the first thing, which you saw on the screen, all right? But up on the screen right now in James chapter 5 and verse 12, it says, "But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation." All right, now, there's a lot of things that are said about swearing, all right? And I realize some of you, when you hear the word swear, you think that that means cussing, all right? Sometimes that is the case, all right? But I'm not talking about swear words. I'm talking about making a promise. Can we just, you know, either we can be in depth like a theologian when it comes to this verse, or we can look at the surface of it, and that's how James wanted us to look at it.
Right.
James wrote this in an emergency. He did not write this book. He did not write this epistle so that we could look at it and be analytical about it and take things apart and piece them together. I've got this book. I don't even know why I still have it, but it's sitting on my shelf. It's a book about James, and I opened it up. There's probably more Greek than there is English and German and other things. And this guy pieces this thing and cuts it apart and puts it together and explains all these things. And I'll be honest with you, as I was flipping through it, I was just like, you know, this is not a life buoy. This thing's trying to sink me. You know what? James, the whole purpose behind it is to keep us afloat. It was an emergency letter. He said in the beginning, he says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations.
Amen.
What he was saying is get excited when bad things happen. Yeah. Well, what in the world does that mean? Let me explain in 5 chapters. That's pretty much what he said. All right. So it's important that we recognize that. And so let's look at the surface here. All right. Don't swear at all. Now, that would fit into a concurrent focus with God. By the way, when you say you're going to do something, do you really have to go, cross my heart, hope to die? Or are you going to let your yes be yes and your no, no?
Amen.
If you say you're going to be at a place at a certain time, I'm preaching to myself, Maurice. Maurice, well, I'll come about 5 minutes late to Bible study. It's about 8 o'clock in the morning. He's gracious, but he does go like this. So I did tell him I'd be there at 8, you know. So, but anyway, sometimes I have to call him up and say, I'm going to be a little late, all right? But you know what? If I'm telling him I'm going to be there at 8, I ought to be there at 8, right?
Amen.
If I, you know, when you say you're going to do something, you'd better do it, all right? That's something, I, you know, I, Brother David Denton for years. He came to me at a funeral one time, met him for the first time, and he said, "I'm going to come to your church. And I'm coming to your church one day." That's what he said. And I thought, I've heard this 100 times. You know, I've had several people say, "I'm going to come to your church one day," and they never have. Well, one day he came to the church. And I said, "You're here." He said, "Well, I said I was coming to your church one day."
Amen.
He said, "Whenever I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it." You know, that is the attitude we ought to have as Christians. If you say you're going to do something, do it. You know, there is a lost man that I know, and I used to get so irritable about this because I thought, you know, he needs to give these guys a break. But one of his reasons for not coming to church, and this is really sad, one of his reasons for not coming to church is because preachers in the past have lied to him. All right? Well, I asked why. I said, "What do you mean by they lied to you?" And he said, "Well, they said that they were gonna come to the hospital, and they didn't. Or they said that they were gonna help me out with something, and they didn't ever show up." I said, "Well, did they call you?" "No." Isn't that sad? Yeah. You know, I'm gonna tell you something. I realized that guy had a pressing engagement, no doubt. As a pastor, pastors have a lot of burdens, a lot of things that they have to bear that you can't even understand a lot of times. But you know, the sad thing is that he did not present a good example of Jesus Christ to that lost man. And as a result, he won't go to church because people didn't keep their promise. Well, I didn't promise. If you said yes, you promised. You don't have to cross your heart, hope to die. You don't have to stick 1,000 needles in your eye. Whatever. You just say, "Yes, I'm going to do it." It ought to be with a simple handshake.
Amen.
You know, we're always, you know, you can deny it all you want to. "I never said that." But can I tell you something? If you have the right focus, you'll realize, "Yes, I did say that," because God can be a witness to it.
Amen.
Let your yes be yes and your no, no. It's that simple. That's part of a concurrent focus on a regular basis, moving forward with life, no matter what happens. If you say you're going to do something, and your focus is on God, you're going to make sure you have an honest answer. All right, next. Let's look at the next one, all right? Hopeful and happy. That's another way that we can be focused. Hopeful and happy. It's interesting. Look what the passage says, all right? Go ahead. It says this in James 5, verse 13. "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms." All right, now, I always thought that, you know, I thought that he said, "Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness." You know, so shouldn't that be saying, "Is any merry? Let him mourn. Is any afflicted? You know, let him sing psalms." Shouldn't it be like that? Well, when it comes to spiritual warfare, yes. When it comes to pulling out weapons in order to conquer the enemy, in order to be an example to lost souls, yes. It's necessary that we use different types of weapons. I've shared this with you. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Am I smacking or something? Huh? I'm coughing. Oh, okay. Last time I got some water, afterwards my wife said, "You keep going." I'm trying to work on that one. Thank you, I appreciate it. All right. So, when it comes to trials, really, I want you to be honest, all right? Be honest with yourself. You don't have to answer me. You don't have to answer with a nod or say anything. But answer yourself. Is it really easy? Is it really that easy to pray when bad things are happening? It really kind of isn't easy. At least that's the case for me. I do try to pray, but boy, I'll tell you, praying is hard. Now, in the midst of that prayer time, I will take a hymnal. I read about this somewhere that R.A. Torrey had 2 books on his table. Didn't have hardly any books in his office, but he did have 2 books on his table. He had a Bible and he had a hymnal. And over to his right, I guess, was a leather couch. And it was all cracked on the floor, the carpet was worn out. And the man who came to visit him could see that this man had shed many tears on that couch and spent many hours praying. He said, brother, how is it that you're able to pray like this? He said, oh, when God is good to me, he said, that's when I get on my knees the most. He said, oh, but when things are difficult and things are trying, that's when I sing the most. Now, that is a weapon, all right? Rejoice is a weapon. Love is a weapon. Resisting Satan is a weapon, all right? All of these things are weapons, the weapons of our warfare, all right? Prayer is a weapon, all right? That's another one. All right, so meditation is the other one. Spending time in God's Word, that is a weapon that you can use, all right? I have found there was a time, I remember I was going through some of the darkest days in this church. The best way that I could explain it to you is I felt like I was in a storm in the midst of the ocean, and there was a wave towering above me this way and a wave towering above me that way, and I could see nothing else. That's about the best metaphor that I can give you as far as how I was feeling in my heart. I was so low at this particular time. And you know, it's interesting. We've recorded a CD. A lot of those songs in that CD that we had made were songs that I had written in those times. Now, since then, I've put a few songs together here and there, but not near as many as I did at that particular time. Not only that, but I also went and memorized. This is not a brag at all. Honestly, I can't remember a lot of it. I do sing a lot of it at the nursing home, but there's a lot of the verses I can't really remember anymore. But that at this particular time, I memorized word for word, verse by verse, over 100 hymns. And the reason why is because when it was raining, I had to get out there and sing. When it was snowing, when it was hot, I didn't want to bring a hymnal out there. I just wanted to sing. And I found it to be the most healing, helpful thing that I could ever do in the midst of heaviness. You know why? It was a weapon. Now, all of that aside, in this particular passage, it says, is any afflicted, let him pray. What that means is that if you're having a hard time, don't lose your focus. Acknowledge that there's a God waiting to help you, waiting to be with you, waiting to lift you up. Amen. Pray to him. I'm guilty of this. Whenever I go into a difficult state, whenever I go into when my heart gets heavy, and I get discouraged, I shut myself out from people. I will go and I'll spend lots of time alone. And you know, it's the biggest temptation for me is to absolutely say nothing to God. But that's when I need to say, Lord, I'm going to be honest with you, I'm hurting. See, it's all about focus. It's all about going to God and admitting what He already knows about you. Don't have an attitude of, I know I'm supposed to be happy and rejoicing, but I really feel terrible. I know I'm supposed to rejoice, though. You know, like Martha, you know, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. But I know when you come back, you know, one day, we're going to see him in the resurrection. I get it. That's pretty much how she said it, is it not? Then Mary came down and fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. And she waited for an answer. She didn't know. She didn't know why. Martha already had the answer. And I can imagine Jesus probably was thinking, well, you said it. But Mary had a humble spirit about her and said, help me, Lord. Help me understand. Because I feel terrible right now. Is any among you afflicted? Talk to God. Just tell him, I'm afflicted. I feel terrible. I realize that I'm not supposed to, but Lord, I feel terrible. You're supposed to help me. Can you? I realize I don't deserve it. I realize that I understand. I've heard preachers say that I don't deserve any of your grace, that all I deserve is hell. I understand all that. But you do love me, don't you? Yes. Where do you find that? That Jesus loves you all throughout Scripture. Amen. He sent out a fiery law because he loved the people. So the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And he that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Amen. Pray, "Lord, I'm hurting right now. My heart is broken. Can you just help me understand a little bit?" Can I tell you something? God will see to it that he helps you. You know why? Because faith is the only thing that pleases him. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, or God said this. He said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Amen. Hear him. Did he not say that? Yeah. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Makes sense. He's pleased with his Son. If we listen to his word, he's pleased with us because we have faith. All right, so we have that. All right, then let's look at the next one. All right, hopeful, happy, all right, those two, and then healthy. Being healthy, having a healthy, all right, a healthy look, all right, a concurrent focus, all right, that looks for healthy times, all right, in the midst of sickness. All right, we can look at the next one here. First of all, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Go ahead. And then it goes on. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith, go ahead, shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Now, I'm not going to go into all the anointing with oil and all that stuff, okay? Not right now. Again, this is an emergency book, From Survival to Revival. I have gone over this. If you've been here any length of time in this church, I have preached about the anointing of oil. I will say this, though. I have known two different types of people who have come to me and desired to be anointed with oil when they were sick. The first one was this kind of a person. They did everything they could to get better. They did everything that they could. They went to doctors. They tried all sorts of herbal supplements. They tried everything that was out there. And when none of it worked, then they said, "Well, the only choice I have now is God." So then they go and they say, "Hey, preacher, I'd like for you to anoint me with oil in the name of the Lord." The Bible says that. Can I tell you something? More times than not, and it's not just me, I'm talking about other pastors have experienced this as well. They didn't live much longer after that. But then I've known others, and I'm talking about mortally sick, that they were dying, had a mortal illness. They were getting ready to die, and they sought God out at the very last minute. Look, that's not faith. Then there's another person, and they are regular churchgoers, and they've heard, they've listened, they've walked with God, and you know what? They find out they have cancer. My wife's grandmother, Mary, is an example of this. She found out that she had a brain tumor. They had to do immediate operation, so this part does not count, all right? But they had to do an immediate operation on her, but after they finished with the operation, they still found malignant tumor in her. They were not able to do anything. And they basically told her, how long did she have? 6 months. Can I remind you, by the way, that every person is supposed to die one day? Okay? So God will heal, but look, we're all supposed to die eventually. She was given 6 months by her doctor. I told her, I called her up. I said, "Grandma," that's what I called her. I said, "Grandma," I said, I remember where I was, and I said, "Grandma," I said, "I want you to call for a pastor, and I want to have a prayer meeting before you start going through these tests, before you start going to Duke and all these other things. We need to have a prayer meeting. We need to do what the Bible says, and then let everything else go." She says, "Well, I think that's a great idea." And we did. How long did she last? 4.5 years. She lived 4.5 years, and she was told she was going to die in 6 months, and they were pretty sure about it. She would call them every year and say, I just want to let you know, doctor, I'm still alive. You know, I miss her. I'm looking forward to seeing her again. But you know what? That was the Lord, the prayer of faith.
Amen.
It was a right focus in the midst of health problems, in the midst of difficulties. The focus was right. Keeping a focus on the Lord, all right? So we have that, all right? Then, all right, let's look at verse 16 here. Okay, next here. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, I'm going to call this one the convenient, you can go ahead, the convenient formula, all right? How many of you know what a formula is in school? All right, now I'm going to ask you this. How many of you have no idea what I'm talking about? Because you didn't listen in school. No. How many of you loved learning new formulas? My wife did because she's a nerd. You weren't supposed to raise your hand. I'm just kidding. Okay, I understand. All right, they were kind of fun to figure out and things like that, but really, when it comes to learning these crazy formulas, like what you see on the board up there, are they really all that fun? Is it really fun trying to? Not really. Now, let me ask you this question. Do all those formulas that you see on the board, do they kind of help the world go round? Absolutely. With those formulas, we have learned how to do all sorts of different things chemically. We've learned how to do things architecturally. Back then, we never saw buildings like what we see today. The reason why is because people have studied and they've learned new formulas, they've learned new math problems, and they've learned new balance problems, and they've figured out how to build some of the most amazing buildings. Without formulas, you wouldn't be able to fly. I got a text from Brother Tim Smith. He wanted to tell his kids. He said, this is how fast we're going, and this is how much thrust, 22,000 pounds of thrust. And all this other stuff, you know, all of that fits into a formula. How much weight needs to be pulled? How long do the wings need to be? How much air do you need? All of these things fit into a formula, an aerodynamic formula that helps a plane to get from point A to point B. How heavy is the plane? All right. How much can it carry? What's the limit? How much gas does it burn? All of that requires a formula, and really smart people develop the airline. That's a formula. Now, the thing is learning a formula isn't very fun, but it's what works. And there's a formula that we find in this verse right here in verse 16. First of all, we see a common pursuit is necessary in the formula. A common pursuit. What is that common pursuit? It says in verse 16. Look at it again, all right? You don't have to turn it up here. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. Confess your faults. All right, so it's a common pursuit. What that means is this. If there is something wrong with you, all right, for example, I was watching the Olympics the other night. And I was watching this guy who was snowboarding. He got in some kind of an accident. He was supposed to be in the Olympics, and he was injured. He did everything he could to get better so that he could win that gold medal. All right? Let me put it to you this way. If you're driving down the road, and all of a sudden you start to hear, and you feel it, what are you going to do? Are you going to keep going? No, you're going to correct the problem. The Bible says that we're supposed to walk in the Spirit. That's a journey, point A to point B. If there's something wrong in between there, we are going to make sure we correct it. That's as long as you recognize that we have a spiritual walk, a right focus with God.
Amen.
All right? Here's the thing. If you realize that there's something wrong and it's hindering the goal, what is your goal? Is your goal to see revival? Is your goal to see this church prosper in the name of the Lord Jesus? Some of you say, well, I don't like big churches. Well, you know what? I'm not particularly fond of big churches, all right? But What is your vision, though? My vision is to see as many souls saved as possible.
Amen.
So if that means that I have to suffer and allow hundreds of people into this church, then so be it. I want to see souls saved and growing and send them out so that they can evangelize the rest of the world, because the world is in collapse.
Amen.
7.2 billion people, and very few of them are hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Right.
We've got to get out there and tell them.
Amen.
What's your vision, though? If you see that there's anything in your life, something that you think may be hindering, something you know is not pleasing God, by all means, go to the rest of the church and say, I need you to pray about this so that I can get better. Are you afraid to witness? Tell people. Hey, I'm scared to go out with you. I really want to go and tell people about Jesus Christ, but I'm going to be honest with you, I'm scared. We're not going to reprimand you. You know what I'm going to say? If you come and tell me that, I'm going to say, you know what? I'm scared too. I'm going to pray for you. Going out soul winning is terrifying to me. Some people like Brother Dave Wilson's like, why? But people like me, I'm like, you know, I when it comes to actually getting out there and doing it, I'm like, But then God begins to work and help me as I get to that door, right when I need him. All right? I'm a person that goes out with fear and trembling. That's what it means. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That means witnessing, telling people about Jesus Christ with fear. All right, fear and trembling. So we have confessing our faults. It's a common pursuit. Are you pursuing God? Are you desperate for him? Are you out of breath for him? Are you going to make sure that you have brothers around you? How many of you think that we're all here to help one another? You know what? Did you know that the greatest way that we can help one another is through prayer?
Amen.
And if you don't tell us what's wrong with you, we can't pray for you. Tell us what's wrong. Tell us what you're struggling with. Tell us what you want to tell us but are afraid to tell us because you think that we're going to look down on you. If there's somebody who's going to look down at you, I promise you this, they don't have a right focus with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If they look at you and go, oh, shame on you, brother, they have no idea who Jesus Christ is. But if you go to them and say, brother, I need you to pray for me, I've got this particular problem, if that person has the right focus, they're going to say, brother, I know exactly what you're talking about. I struggle with sins too. I'm going to pray for you. That is the common pursuit. We're all pursuing to seek God. All right, then the second part, a cooperative prayer. Cooperative. Strength in numbers. A threefold cord is not easily broken. Let's pray together about it. You know what? Brother Dave is getting ready to go out to India and evangelize. And I have no doubt that I have no doubt. I don't know where I got that word from. It's a new word. I have no doubt that things are going to go well for him, that God's going to bless. But don't you think it'll go better if we have a prayer meeting? I think it will.
Amen.
Amen? All right? Cooperative prayer. If two of you shall agree as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. And then number three in this point here, a clean purpose.
Amen.
What does that mean? All right, in the Bible, all right, and it's not on the screen, all right, but it says this. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You know what availeth mean? Availeth means it really helps. It really helps. Isn't it interesting that Jesus Christ called the Holy Spirit a helper? A man who is righteous walks with the Holy Spirit. A man who is in touch with God. You know, would you want to, if you knew somebody, my wife, what was the name of your cousin? The cousin that works for the White House, I'm sorry. Sorry, what's that?
Johnny.
She has a cousin that works in the White House, his name is Johnny, and he is like, I mean, he's with the presidents all the time. He was with Obama. He was with the Clintons. Isn't he there now? Maybe not. He might have retired. Okay. But he was with them. You know, I have no doubt, and I'm like, you know, don't tell me yes or no, but I have no doubt that if Marianne knew of something that was upsetting and she was pretty close to Johnny, I would imagine she would say, hey, while you're with the president, could you mention this to him? Why? Because he's close to him, sees him every day. If I knew somebody and I knew them well, and I knew that they had connections with the president, I would say, hey, can you ask the president to maybe kind of, you know, he's really doing a great job, but these tweets are really giving him a bad name. Could you tell him to just kind of cut out some of the tweets a little bit, you know, and he's criticizing everybody, you know, I'm sure he would probably say, well, you know, if I get a chance, you know, sure. But here's the thing. That's not Jesus Christ. If you know somebody who's in touch with God, I guarantee you there's a God who listens to that person. And if you say, I got a problem, go to the effectual, fervent prayer warrior, the righteous man. Tell him about your problems, and he'll go to the one that he's near and close to all the time, the one that you're away from because of this particular fault you're struggling with, and say, would you tell him to help me, please? And they'll go and they'll say, hey, look, this person right here, he needs some help. Now I know who you are, Lord. You're a loving God. You're a merciful God. I know you're ready to help. This dear friend of mine, he is in so much trouble. Would you please help him? And I guarantee you, it won't be like the president who says, well, I have too many press conferences to go to right now. Right. Too many golf games. Yeah, sorry. It's not him. He says, I'm on it. Amen. That's what Jesus says. That's why the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I'm going to stop at this next point. Let's go ahead and skip this verse right here. Go ahead and skip it. Go to the next one. The last point, and I'm going to go into this the next time, is a catalyst figured in. A catalyst is an element that does not fit into a chemical reaction, but it helps to speed up the chemical reaction. So we learned the formula. We learned how that all of these things really work. The catalyst right now to speed things up and get you excited is Elijah. We're going to learn about his prayer life next time. And boy, I'll tell you what, he's exciting. And he'll get you motivated. He'll get you revved up. He'll get you ready to get on your knees and pray. You know why? Because when, March the 24th or the 21st? I can't remember which day it is. 21st. You already know, brother. March the 21st, we're going to have an all-day prayer meeting with God. Now, look, this is not one of those things where you go, oh, all day. That does sound rough, all right? It really does when at face value. This type of a day is one of those days where we get together and we say, Lord, we're going to give you this whole day because we want to give you plenty of time to make yourself clear as far as what you want us to do. And we love you. And we're going to wait, and we're going to let you talk to us. And if anybody feels compelled to pray because the Holy Spirit's working on their heart, they can pray. But can I tell you something? There is nothing wrong with 15 minutes, 30 minutes of silence. Nothing. As a matter of fact, sometimes people who pray and have their devotions in the middle of a prayer service, and they do, they'll say things like, the word of God, and you know, they'll start teaching some kind of a lesson. And all of a sudden it's like, and the reason why is because, I don't know, either they like to be heard, or it's, I just don't like the silence. We need to be praying. Somebody needs to be praying. That ruins it. I'm not saying it happens here. I'm saying it happens. This prayer service is not for that. This prayer service is when God moves and we know it, that we'll be ready to pray. We're going to give him time to do it. Hey, don't you think God deserves our time? Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think he deserves plenty of time. And it's high time that we had a prayer meeting. Amen. Because he's ready to work, but he's not going to go on our time schedule. He's going to say, are you in a hurry? Because I'm not. Amen. And we're going to say, no, we're not in a hurry, Lord. We're ready to listen. We're going to be here all day waiting for you to talk to us. You know what? If not one word is spoken for 3 hours, I promise you God will speak, because he's looking to see if we really believe he's going to speak to us. Amen. Presently active. That's who our God is. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you so much for this time. that we can be together. Thank you, Father, for the ability that we have to be able to focus on you. And Lord, we are asking right now that you would just make this real to us. Some of us are going through some major issues. There are some of us who are having a hard time telling the truth. And really, there are times where it's hard to tell the truth. Sometimes it involves confronting someone and actually being honest with them about a certain issue. Some of us are hopeful, but we're not sure of what the outcome is. Some of us are having a great day today. Some of us have health problems. Whatever the case may be, would you clear their focus? There's been many times where I feel like I see men as trees. I need another touch so that I can see clearly what you want me to see. Lord, would you help us to get that focus? Help us to have a concurrent focus, a focus that's on a regular basis. Help us to make sure that we use that formula. I pray that none of us would be afraid to go to someone who we know gets in touch with heaven. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I would never say it up here on the pulpit, but if you want to know who's close to God, if you're not sure who's close to God, I can point out several that are close to the Lord. Go to them. If you know of somebody who's in touch with God, go to them and say, look, I really need you. If you need to bring them aside, talk to them privately, man or a woman. I will say this, and it's because I can. If you're a woman, my wife will pray for you. I promise. Just, you know, one of the things that I think a lot of ladies make the mistake of, and this is because I have a pastor's wife. A lot of mistakes that are made is that you like to pour out all of your problems on this woman here, and not one time do you ask her to pray about it. Or if you do, it's always at the end. I would encourage you, if you want to share a burden, say, I need you to talk to God about something, because it's really heavy on my heart, it's really heavy in my life, and I believe you're in touch with God. Would you mind having a conversation with God about this particular situation? I promise you that you'll blow her away if you say something like that. She'll say, you better believe it. We weren't necessarily made to hear all the burdens because there's really nothing we can do. But there's a God who can. We can help you in certain ways, certainly. I'm not saying don't tell us your problems at all. What I'm saying is that we're limited, but there is a God who is unlimited. He's able to do anything, whenever, however. If you know somebody who's close to the supreme God of the universe, say, would you put in a good word for me? I promise if they do, the Lord will speak. He'll work. Father, I thank you again for this time, Lord. I feel compelled to close at this time. Pray that you would keep us safe as we go our separate ways. Bless us as we come back together again tonight. I am praying especially that you would just, well, I already know that you have gotten things ready over there in India. Everything's ready for when Dave and Dave step off of that plane. Already, things are set into motion. You had already prepared everything long before Rivrandra and others even thought of ideas for them. You already had orchestrated everything for such a time as this. And I'm asking that you would just go before them, and may the best be done, because it's your purpose, it's your plan. pray the same for this church. I pray that we would realize that that the moment we step out of these doors, even now, that already things are set into motion. Help us to be aware of them. Satan hates this church. He's fighting. He's doing everything he can against it. There's sicknesses, there's struggles, there's heartache. But you are above it all. I thank you for that. We pray you just bless us as we go our separate ways, and it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, you're dismissed, and come tonight, please. Please come tonight. Let's get in touch with God and hear a good sermon. Amen.